The fight for civil rights may seem like a chapter in the history books, but all across the South, there are living, breathing stories of incredible courage and extraordinary resilience in the face of ongoing injustice. Welcome to Southern Gumption. I'm your host, Andy Lee, and together we'll embark on a journey through history and the present day to reveal the unheard voices who have been instrumental in shaping the fight for voting rights, justice system reform, and environmental justice. I remember where I was on January 6th. I was working as a reporter in Houston at the time, writing some puff piece about Chipotle opening or something like that. And all the while, watching my Twitter timeline detail moment by moment how the world was falling apart. For many people, the January 6th attacks are a stain on American history, an explosive singularity that seemed to come out of nowhere. But the underlying thread, the invasive propaganda of election denial, has infected the American consciousness for a long time, and its effects continue to trickle down into our everyday institutions. That's what they did in Surry County. The rural community sits on the border with Virginia and straddles the Piedmont and the Appalachians. Its largest town, Mount Airy, is the birthplace of Andy Griffith, an inspiration for Mayberry. It's a sweet, unassuming place, not the place you'd expect the election denial movement to be dealt a historic blow. But it is. Let's lay down some groundwork first.
I'm Hillary Harris Klein. I'm senior counsel for voting rights with the Southern Coalition for Social Justice.
Right off the top, I feel like when people think or hear the word election administration, they could probably give you a very general or broad idea about what that meant. But I don't think many people would be able to say in any actual real terms what that is and how that impacts our elections. What would you tell them election administration is?
Election administration is the method by which our government and specific bodies in our government ensure that we are conducting the elections in this country in compliance with all of the legal rights and the legal requirements that are put in place. So in North Carolina, we have the North Carolina State Board of Elections that is responsible for overseeing all of the state's election administration. And it does this by overseeing the work of county boards of elections. So in North Carolina, we have 100 counties. And in each of those counties, there is a county board of elections. And they are responsible for the election administration within their county. So that means how people are going to go vote, and then how those votes are counted and how those results are reported back to the state board.
Hmm. So when people walk in on election day to fill out their ballot, the election administration is the system that got the ballot there in the first place and how that polling place is set up.
That's right. It's how everything that appears when you go to vote appeared in that place, but also what happens after you vote, and how your vote is counted and how it is deemed a valid, you know, ballot that you cast. They're certified by each of the county boards that certify the results within their county. That is sent to the state board, and then the state board certifies the statewide reports.
So why does a healthy election administration matter? Well, it ensures eligible voters are able to cast their ballots, and that all those ballots are treated equally.
And if folks in one part of a state or the country are using different rules than somebody in another part of a state, you couldn't say that they actually have an equal opportunity. So it's really important that it be uniform. And the linchpin of this entire process is that the folks on the ground administering elections are following the law. They're not following their own opinions or their own preferences. They are following what the law requires.
Following the law, not their opinions. Remember that bit. It'll come up.
motion for approval has been made.
Second.
A second. Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor of approval of our minutes from yesterday evening, say aye.
Aye.
You're listening to the Surrey County Board of Elections canvassing the 2022 vote. It's normally a fairly routine event, but not this time.
Two of the board members, one named Jerry Forestieri and the other named Timothy DeHaan, they circulated a letter to the rest of the board saying that they were going to decline to certify the election results as credible. Now, this letter was absolutely off the wall. So they basically said they believed the election laws that were administered were not legitimate or constitutional, again, in their personal opinion. And they said that the laws were grotesque and perverse sham of our real election laws as enacted by our General Assembly. This causes chaos in the meeting.
That if you sign the abstract, you are signing that you certify the entire election, certify the results. Your points of view may be included in the meeting minutes, but have no basis to change what is statutorily prescribed.
And there's a lot of debate about, you know, what do they mean by this letter and why are they refusing to certify the results? Again, when the other board members asked members DeHaan and Forestieri about it, Forestieri and DeHaan again said they thought that the staff in their county did a great job.
We have no complaints with what Surrey County Board of Commissioners or Board of Elections have done. We are not questioning anything that has happened within the walls and with the employees of the board. None whatsoever. Our concern is with the way the law has improperly been changed by a judge who has no authority to make law, but she's doing it anyway. And it basically is saying that we feel that the election was held according to the law that we have, but that the law is not right.
In the end, the board was able to certify the votes without their approval.
But neither disavowed the contents of the letter or kind of backed away from that at all. So thankfully, for that election, the 2022 general election, Surrey County's votes were certified and sent to the state board. The problem, though, is whether members Forestieri and DeHaan could ever be trusted again to do their duties as county board members.
Of course, this protest didn't occur in a vacuum. The trickle-down from January 6th is pretty clear. The election is rigged, our votes are being stolen, our laws are illegitimate, we have to do what we can to take back our country. But even viewing the point of origin as January 6th isn't quite right.
Hi, so I'm Jesse Rhodes. I'm a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. My research focuses on matters relating to race, ethnicity, and politics in the United States, and in particular, issues related to voting rights, civil rights, and democratization and de-democratization in the United States.
I, as someone who is relatively young, and I know that sort of people doubting or in sowing mistrust within our electoral systems is not necessarily a new phenomenon, but it certainly feels like within the last 5, 10, 2 or 3 years, there is a change in that pitch and temperature of that conversation.
Sure. So I think it's really important to start with kind of the broader context that helped shape the current concerns about voter fraud and the lack of integrity of elections on the right. And I think there are two things that are really important. So the first is we are in a period, especially since 2000 and very much dramatized by the 2000 presidential election, of really tight electoral competition. So we've seen a lot of turnover in who controls Congress. We've seen a lot of turnover across elections and which party controls the presidency. Presidential elections have become very close and hinging on outcomes in a small number of so-called battleground states. And so what that means is that how many people vote and who they're voting for really matters, because election margins are razor thin. The second thing that has happened is that the country has become more racially and ethnically diverse over time. And that change in the population, there's very strong social science research that suggests that as demographics change, individuals who have more negative racial attitudes, that they're going to have increased anxieties and concerns about their own status in society, about how demographic change is going to affect the balance of political power in society. And it makes those individuals much more sensitive to political issues and much more concerned about who's participating in elections and with what consequences, and makes them more willing to contemplate efforts to control access to the vote in order to try to affect election outcomes.
That's a major point in the Surrey County issue. The board members name-dropped a specific judge in their letter, Loretta Biggs, the first Black woman appointed to a federal court in North Carolina.
They called her a tyrant in this letter.
They call her that because of specific rulings she's made, including one on a voter ID requirement. We know through extensive research that voter ID laws hurt voters of color the most, keeping them from participating in our democracy.
And so those two developments, an increasingly diverse population and electorate, and the closeness of elections, are really important context to understanding what's going on presently. And I think what's happened is that, and we really started to see this in the 2000s, increased anxiety on the right about the lack of integrity of elections. And really after George W. Bush's first victory, there were increasing questions among Republicans about the value of the Voting Rights Act. There were increasing questions among Republicans and conservative activists about the integrity of American elections and voting by people who are not eligible to do so. And those anxieties and fears were even further exacerbated by the election of Barack Obama in 2008. And, you know, there was a lot of conversation about us reaching a post-racial era in this country. In fact, the opposite was true, that many Americans, particularly those on the right, viewed Obama's election as evidence that whites in this country, and particularly those living in rural areas and those with more traditional political and cultural values, were under threat and on the defensive. And it sparked a real counter-reaction in the rise of the birther movement, in which Donald Trump played an important part. And the birther movement was really critical because we saw a real fusion of racial politics with questions about the integrity of elections and the qualifications of the president. And Trump, of course, in 2020, made questioning the integrity of elections central to his campaign. And he did so in very racialized ways. And so there's, you know, really good journalistic evidence that highlights just how frequently he raised questions about the integrity of elections. And of course, that culminated in 2020 and his refusal to peacefully leave office and his support for the big lie and the claim that the presidency was denied to him because of voting by racialized, ineligible voters, particularly undocumented immigrants and people without American citizenship. And then also claims about election fraud in cities that were controlled by elected officials of color. And so what Trump did was take developments that were bubbling up in Republican politics and conservative activist circles due to rising racial and ethnic diversity in this country and increasingly close elections, and accelerated it. He made it very explicit. He made it very racialized and frankly racist, and he made the subtext into the text. And by doing that, he set the context for our politics around elections to become very racial, very ugly, and in many cases focused on trying to suppress the legitimate votes of Americans, particularly Americans of color.
Yeah, it always really struck me how, just like linguistically, the idea of like stopping the steal felt so related to sort of like the Great Replacement Theory and this idea that, you know, immigrants and people of color are coming to steal our jobs and our opportunities, and how that very easily dovetails into like now they're stealing our elections and our votes.
That's right. And I think that those linkages were often explicit, that Trump during his presidency and certainly during his post-presidency has endorsed tenets of the Great Replacement Theory. And, you know, the core of the Great Replacement Theory is the idea that political elites are intentionally embracing lax immigration policies to enable an influx of immigrants who will replace the so-called native and implicitly white population in order to strengthen elites' political power, right? In order to help them stay in office and to kind of suppress the quote-unquote real voice of Americans and American citizens.
It might seem like a stretch, connecting the incendiary language and actions from Trump and his followers to Surrey County. But the connective tissue, the through line, is there. This is sort of like what the January 6th people were asking like Pence to do, right? Of like, don't certify or like whatever, because there's irregularities in this election.
It is definitely related to that. Mm. The thought that folks who have the role of certifying election results can take it upon themselves to decide whether they want to do that instead of administering the law that's decided, again, by our court systems and by lawmakers, that they would take it upon themselves to personally decide what the law should be.
I think what's important to understand is that, in part, that this was a very self-conscious and intentional organizational effort after the 2020 presidential election, that very conservative figures that were allies of former President Trump, so in particular Steve Bannon, Roger Stone, and others on social media, on podcasts, in other venues with conservative and right-wing organizations and activists, they advocated this. That they suggested that controlling the local infrastructure for administering elections could be a critical piece in the overall playbook to try to affect election outcomes, to promote conservative candidates.
That's certainly true in Surrey County. In a piece by ProPublica, election director Michaela Huff talked about an incident in 2022. She was confronted by Douglas Frank, a major player in the election denial world, and some local supporters who demanded access to her office, complaining of phantom voters. In that same story, Huff said the conspiracy theorists argued with her for more than an hour, threatening to have her fired if she didn't comply. When she didn't, they went on a months-long campaign to have her pay reduced. In March, the county commissioners actually heard directly from David Clements. Clements travels all around the country preaching election fraud and insecurity. In Surrey County, his focus was on voting machines.
And that's why that record's being jealously guarded by folks here in North Carolina, because it's conclusive proof of digital manipulation. And the canvas.
That doesn't mean that it's a kind of shadowy conspiracy theory. For the most part, this information is public record. It's not hidden, and it also is not fully coordinated or perfectly organized, but there are efforts out there, and those efforts are visible to people who are paying attention and are keeping careful watch.
Yes, hi, my name is Bob Hall. I am the former director of Democracy North Carolina, and I've been involved in voting rights and civil rights work for, a long time, 50 years, 60 years.
So my name is Tyler Day. I am the Policy and Civic Engagement Manager with Common Cause North Carolina.
So tell me a little bit about how you got involved and aware of the Surry County Board of Elections issue.
Well, the North Carolina is gifted to have quite an infrastructure of nonprofit groups that work on good government issues and election issues, voting rights issues, and it's grown, in the last 15 years.
Let's talk a little bit about Common Cause's County Board of Elections monitoring. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about what that work looks like and how you go about it?
Sure. So the County Board of Elections are in charge of administering the law, the election laws passed by the General Assembly. And in some cases, there is wiggle room. There is ambiguity. And so a lot of our work is in, monitoring these boards to keep track of what's happening. If something like what happened in Surry County happens, that's something that we want to know about, and we want to be able to act on if necessary. But also just things like advocating for early voting plans. We encourage our advocates to go to those county board meetings and speak out for those issues. We have monitors in counties around the state. We're always looking to get more and to recruit more so that we can do more of this important work. Like I say, if people are not there and we don't know what's happening, then there's nothing that we can do to act on these issues. And so I was assigned to go to Surry County. Most of the time it is a straightforward process where the county boards simply certify the election results. Everything should run smoothly. And two of the board members brought out a letter, and it was kind of odd, and they passed it around to the other board members. And this letter was basically them explaining the concerns that they had with certifying the election results.
What were the thoughts that were in your head when you were watching this take place?
I think what I was thinking really was, initially when I got there, I was, this is going to be boring, honestly. Yeah. And it should be. I should say it should be. But when I saw what was happening, I thought, what is this? I was confused at first that there was this letter going around. And then when I, it became clear what was taking place, I could not believe what I was seeing. And I called the 888, our vote hotline, and reported it to other members of our coalition.
One day, along comes a communication across the transom, the email, about a meeting that was held in Surry County, and a couple of the board members refusing to sign the document, and not only doing that, but actually sending out a letter declaring that the State Board of Elections is, evil, and the judge who's made different rulings about election things is evil and delusionary. So I wrote back, I put into the stream, we need to take action on this. We need to hold those folks accountable. So I filed a complaint with the state board about the two men and their action. After I did the research on, I basically knew a lot of the reality here was that you take an oath of office to become an election official. It's not to be loyal to the Republican Party or to the Democratic Party or loyal to your own beliefs. You put those aside and you obey the law. And that includes clarifications about the rules for interpreting the laws.
So a hearing was scheduled, and before that, the board members and Bob Hall, the complainant, were able to put in some papers before that. And in the papers, the members basically asserted two things. First of all, they dug in on their disagreement with the law. And they tried to put forth as much basis for this disagreement as possible. They threw a lot of information at the state. One thing that they said was that they believed they had a First Amendment protected right to do what they did. The First Amendment, of course, protects speech. It protects the ability of anybody to hold genuine political disagreements or other disagreements. It's certainly protected. But the thing is, it does not protect folks in appointed positions who take oaths to faithfully execute the laws, to take the law into their own hand and refuse to execute those duties. And that makes sense for a lot of reasons. If you think of all public offices, you know, police officers, for example, they can have a First Amendment disagreement and personally tell their family and friends and post on Facebook, "I disagree with this." But they are expected to administer the law as it is, and they should be able to be removed if they don't do that. Same thing applies to County Board of Elections members. If DeHaan or Forestieri had posted on their personal Facebook that they really disagreed with these laws and it was difficult for them to certify results because they disagreed with the laws, or if they even wanted to bring some sort of legal action themselves to try to change the law, they're absolutely protected in doing that. But while they're sitting in the chair in the county canvass meeting where they have a duty to certify and authenticate votes, when they are sitting in that role, they cannot just personally decide they disagree with the law and will not execute faithfully the duties of their office.
Although the state board normally meets in Raleigh, they took this hearing out to Surrey County.
Hall, the floor is yours. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. My name is Bob Hall. I'm joined here today by my counsel, Hillary Klein, from the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, who is helping me today. I'm asking the State Board of Elections to remove Timothy DeHaan and Jerry Forestieri from
the... So at the end of the hearing, one of the members, Stacey Eggers, made a motion to have members Forestieri and DeHaan removed from their offices. And he explained his reasoning for this in a very detailed, thoughtful manner, I thought.
Just to a moment, this is an issue that I have considered deeply, struggled with, and spent a lot of time investigating and reviewing the evidence before us, and also as to where we as a society and where we as board members go. But ultimately, there is an obligation that we follow the law as it's presented to us. And I will say, in considering the complaint, that it is certainly okay for board members to disagree with and what they consider to be a court getting it wrong, the state board getting it wrong, and certainly can even proceed to disparage those decisions if you disagree with them. But the concern that I have is where the obligation arises that we follow what the law is rather than what we wish it to be. And I think that is the point that we're called upon to address here. I mean, can we improve safeguards as they relate to voter integrity? I think certainly so. Issues such as residency challenges, signature verification, voter ID, those are policy issues. Several of those issues are policy issues that I have argued with my colleagues on this board and not prevailed on. And that is the way our system works. It is incumbent upon me, if I lose such a battle, and I have, as my colleagues know, lost several of them with them, that if that is not challenged and appealed, that is the rules that we're going to all follow and we're all going to apply equally. If it is a final court order and it has not been appealed or stayed, it's binding upon county board members, it's binding upon us as state board members, and it is important that we follow the law because we ultimately are a government of laws and not of men. And there may certainly...
The meeting ended with DeHaan and Forestieri removed from their seats.
Well, I tell you, when that hearing was over, a reporter came up and said, do you know that that is the first time in the country that an election official has been booted out from their office because of election denial? And I was just shocked. I was surprised, really. It's important that it happened, and it's happened elsewhere.
What were the conditions, in your own opinion, that made North Carolina first? Why North Carolina first?
Well, we had both sides here, both the election deniers, and we had an infrastructure of good government organizations that are fighting back. And the Southern Coalition for Social Justice is definitely at the center of that whole infrastructure. And so, you know, it was a collaborative effort with the Southern Coalition at that point and I think that's part of why we were at the center, because the folks who are fighting back against that have a support system. We're advocates, and we're not going to just fold our tents and go away. We're going to fight back too.
This was a win for democracy, no doubt. But with the 2024 election around the corner, there's already signs of new concerns.
You know, when we see certain issues coming up, and we saw this during the canvas process, we had many reports that there were inconsistencies in how the voter ID exception form was being reviewed by the counties. And so I know we worked with Democracy in North Carolina and the Southern Coalition for Social Justice on a report that has been released. It's a compilation of different monitors' reports, and we sent that report to the State Board of Elections as well. And I know that through some of, what we have done from attending the recent winter conference for the State Board, that they have recently made some adjustments to the guidance that they are giving to county boards now. So hopefully that will lead to more consistent and uniform implementation of that voter ID exception form around the state. You know, you've got, this is why it's important that we have people monitoring these things, monitoring county boards. So if you see something that is concerning to you or something that doesn't seem right, you know, as I did when I was monitoring the Surrey County Board, then, we have a hotline, 888-OUR-VOTE, that you can call. You know, you can also, again, get involved with monitoring and help us in tracking any issues that come up. You just need to be on the lookout for those types of things. Our democracy only works because we make it work, you know. It's up to us as people to be involved and you know, not just in voting, but to be involved and to know what's going on and to be actively participating in it in order to make sure that it all works.
As we head into another election year and the beginnings of sort of like another wave of like election denial, election insecurity talk or whatever, what does the average voter need to know and what should they do? And what do election officials need to know?
What I would want voters to know is that there is an extremely robust infrastructure that ensures that when our election results are reported, that they are accurate, that the elections were conducted lawfully, that there was no fraud, no irregularities. I mean, we have an incredibly robust system for doing that. That essentially means if anybody has an iota of evidence that something wasn't right, that complaint can be heard and that either through the courts or the state board, those concerns are investigated and considered and resolved.
You know, I worry sometimes that we spend so much time talking about the denial people and trying to get ready for the big attack or what kind of election protection system can we put in place. And we don't put enough emphasis on just inspiring people about the importance of their vote and making sure that they actually do show up. If you have a spirit that you're going to get a lot of return by going to vote, because people are going to deliver big time for you. Well, I'm afraid that's not going to happen. You know, elections and politics and democracy are messy and slow, and you don't get results very quick. But if you stay at it and you keep at it and you do make progress. That's a hard message for young people. It was hard for me when I was a kid to believe that voting was that important because I wanted change right now. But I think people have got to really decide that in the face of whatever, they're going to go ahead and make some choices. You know, I'm going to make my voice be heard. And everyone adds up. We've had a lot of elections in North Carolina that have been lost or won by just two or three people per precinct. I mean, that's incredible to think of that. That, you know, one vote really actually does make a difference.
Thank you for listening to Southern Gumption. If you like this episode, please leave us a review and share it with your friends. Make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on an episode. You can find out more about SCSJ and the work that we do at southerncoalition.org. Find us on Twitter at SCSJ or Instagram at SCSJOfficial. I'm Andy Lee, and this has been Southern Gumption. For the South, by the South.